Thank you for listening. This is an introductory podcast on the systemic treatment of animals and the rule of law in Canada. Produced and written by Annie Olson, myself, and my production assistant, Mishka. Credit to Jazar for his song, The Last Ones, playing in the background. And we'll just jump right into it. The Western world is filled with things you just don't do. Because if you did, aspects of our carefully formed society might fall apart. They don't even need to be written down, you just know not to do them. These things are often considered common sense to our culture. For example, we know not to drive on the left side of the road. And for the most part, we don't eat with our hands in a fancy restaurant and we don't speak our own made-up languages. So when you think about it, this concept of common sense is like a gravitational pull, sort of invisibly holding things in place so our world of social norms can function. It's the most basic level of order without which the more complicated aspects of our society would have no effect. And believe it or not, the law has its own common sense principles, which act as a foundation for the vast, complicated universe of laws that govern us. It's referred to as the rule of law, and for the purposes of this podcast, I'll refer to it as the rule so it doesn't get confusing when I talk about actual laws. But I'm not going to bore you with a long history and philosophical discussion surrounding the rule, because once you get past all the noise, there are several fairly simple characteristics that emerge. Now, this is important because the Supreme Court of our country declared the rule to be an unwritten principle that they found floating around somewhere in the preamble of our Constitution, which is pretty weird, but anyway, without it, the more complicated aspects of our legal system could not function. So back to those characteristics. The one I'm going to talk about today is accessibility. And this means the law must be intelligible, clear, and predictable. Or, in other words, there shouldn't be fake laws, secret laws, or confusing laws, because this prevents us from being able to conduct ourselves accordingly, or to shift our attitude or actions towards others when they're contravening the law. So, okay, we have our accessibility backpack, so let's see what's in it. Okay, here we have confusing laws, otherwise known as vagueness. This idea of vagueness pops up all over the place, particularly in the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. For example, a section in the criminal code that allowed judges to deny bail simply if it would be, quote, in the public interest, unquote, was found to be vague and imprecise and thus unconstitutional. So with that in mind, I want to know how I am legally entitled to treat animals. It's a simple question, so let's check out some of the laws. And I'm going to paraphrase a little bit here. Okay, in the BC Provincial Act, a person responsible for an animal must not cause or permit the animal to be in distress. The Health of Animals Regulation stipulates every animal must be handled in a manner that does not result in suffering, injury, or death. The Meat Inspection Regulation says you can't subject an animal to avoidable distress or avoidable pain. In the Codes of Practice, there's a consistent theme of serious risk to welfare. And in the Criminal Code, it's a crime to willfully cause unnecessary pain, suffering, or injury to an animal. So, as you can see, there are literally five different descriptions of the appropriate treatment of an animal. It is not okay to cause distress or injury or suffering or pain or to affect the animal's welfare. Well, what on earth is the difference? If that's not bad enough, the BC Act exempts prescribed activities related to the breeding, care, keeping, training, use, transportation, disposition, assembly, or killing of animals. The Health of Animals Act only pertains to transportation, and the Meat Inspection Act only pertains to slaughterhouses. Finally, the Codes of Practice only pertain to farms. So if you add in other animal regulations to the mix, it gets even weirder. The AIHTS standards for trapping allow for traps that actually kill the animals only 80% of the time. And the other 20%, the animals usually left trapped, debilitated, and in extreme pain. So let's see if I have this straight. You can cause distress to an animal if it's being transported but not suffering or pain to any other animal unless it's being trained or bred or to a wild animal 20% of the time if trapping. But don't interfere with the animal's welfare on a farm and don't cause it distress, but you can cause pain if it's necessary or unavoidable. Now, compare this to the unconstitutional in the public interest provision that was struck down for vagueness. Seems legit. Will the criminal code swoop in with clarity? No, because killing an animal is not illegal. Therefore, the requirement that the killing be caused willfully and that the suffering be unnecessary excludes virtually all actions incidental to the actual killing. So if you claim you're trying to kill something and you cause some pain in the process, it's not willful, nor is it unnecessary. This is particularly true because courts in this context consider the purpose sought, and that purpose sought may be to produce food for mankind. So it's not really surprising that when a truck of pigs crashed in Burlington, Ontario, leaving them wounded and staggering the streets, concerned activists and onlookers, citizens with a supposed right to clear laws, had literally no idea who to call, and the people they did call had no idea what it was in their jurisdiction to do. I still have my accessibility backpack here, so let's see what else we have. Okay, secret laws. Unacceptable for the same reason that confusing laws are, only more so. So let's talk for a minute about the codes of practice developed by the National Farm Animal Care Council, the NFACC. The codes of practice include comprehensive instructions on how to treat farm animals and are referred to as reasonable and generally accepted farming practices. This results in farms being practically excluded from the laws that we talked about earlier. Here's the problem. These codes are voluntary. They're not law, and a great deal of them are recommendations. And although government and animal rights groups provide input, can you imagine if the banking industry was given voluntary recommendations on how to handle your money? Can you imagine if bankers sat around drafting their own laws according to whatever practices are reasonable in their own humble opinions, with no reliable mechanism for checking whether the laws are being enforced? Now, I'll give you an example. The beef codes allow branding, but require that farmers not brand a wet cow. Duh. However, in terms of pain control, they recommend that the brand be proportionate to the size of the cow, and they recommend consultation with a vet regarding pain control. Wait a minute. Isn't using an oversized red-hot brand on a small cow with no pain control causing distress or injury or suffering or pain or affecting the cow's welfare? And we don't have closed-circuit monitoring like they're in the process of introducing in the UK, so there's currently no consistent, reliable method to ensure enforcement of the recommendations. Now, farming's not extraordinary in this regard. There are similar setups with regards to the use of animals in research and sled dogs. So we don't really know what they're doing to animals, but despite none of the actual laws applying, it's legal. Now, that seems to me the definition of a secret law. The maxim, no man should be his own judge, takes on a new meaning when applied to the treatment of animals in Canada. It's not remotely a stretch to see that all of this flies in the face of the rule as it has been defined. This brings me to the last item in my backpack, fake laws. In the animal context, these are laws that for a plethora of reasons are on the books but are not enforced or have little to no penalty attached. Now, a reoccurring theme here is the issue of standing. Because animals have no legal rights, they can't bring forth claims. For example, the city of Edmonton had an elephant named Lucy in their zoo who was allegedly suffering from a lack of companionship and the cold climate. Activists filed for a declaration that the city was in breach of the Alberta provincial animal laws because naturally Lucy couldn't do it herself and no one else tasked with enforcing that law was doing it either. Not only did the court not find in Lucy's favor, they chastised the activists for abusing the court process. This also attaches to our first issue of vagueness. If you're impacted by a vague law, the courts will ask the government to justify this, and if they can't, the law can be struck down. But if you aren't directly impacted, an animal is, no one has standing to set this process in motion. Finally, even when someone is found guilty of animal cruelty, meaning the prosecution won, got past the evidentiary hurdle of the victim being literally unable to speak, 2, proved the pain was unwilling, 3, proved the pain was unnecessary, and 4, proved that there was no legitimate purpose served, the judge still considers the need for deterrence when coming up with a sentence. One judge sentenced a man who had, plug your ears if you need to, stabbed and stomped a family cat to death to 1 day of incarceration because he observed there was relatively few animal cruelty cases coming through the courts and thus no need to deter others. Maybe it's because 99% of the people who are harming animals are writing their own laws, which make them exempt from the real laws, and even when the real laws come into play, there's either no standing to enforce them or they're so confusing that no one, including the authorities, know if an offense has been committed. Maybe that's why there are no cases coming through the courts. So really, These laws are like those fake buildings they use in movies. They appear as buildings, but if you look at them from the side, there's nothing behind their carefully constructed surfaces. So, I've talked your ear off, I've emptied my accessibility backpack, and hopefully made you angry. To summarize, we learned about how the rule of law establishes base minimum common sense principles that Canada, thinking pretty highly of themselves as a liberal democratic society, claims to respect. And even if you aren't an animal advocate, how far sideways of the rule the systemic legal treatment of animals falls should raise alarms. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Check out animaljustice.ca to learn more or to find out how to get involved.